Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Finance Podcast. Today, we're diving into a fascinating legal development that touches upon the complex world of U.S. border management. It's a story about how the courts can intervene in the operations of government, and how those interventions are themselves subject to review.
That's right. We're talking about a U.S. appeals court that has temporarily paused a rather extraordinary order. This order would have required a high-ranking border official to appear in court every single day. It's a situation that really highlights the checks and balances within our legal system.
Exactly. And to really understand the significance of this pause, we first need to unpack the original order itself. What was it, why was it issued, and what immediate impact would it have had? It suggests a judge was deeply concerned about something.
Absolutely. The initial court order was, as you said, quite extraordinary. It demanded that a top official responsible for border operations appear in court on a daily basis. Typically, such stringent measures are put in place when a judge has profound concerns about compliance with previous rulings or a perceived lack of adequate action in a critical legal case.
And when we talk about a top border official, this isn't just any bureaucrat. We're likely talking about someone at the very highest level, like the Commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, or potentially even the Secretary of Homeland Security, as CBP falls under DHS. These are individuals managing immense agencies with critical national security and humanitarian responsibilities.
Precisely. Their schedules are already incredibly demanding, filled with strategic planning, operational oversight, and crisis management. The idea of them having to appear in court daily is almost unimaginable in terms of practical implications. It would undoubtedly consume a significant portion of their time and divert attention from their core duties.
The logistical challenge alone would be immense. How do you lead a vast federal agency when you're required to be in court every single day? It speaks volumes about the severity of the dispute that led to such a drastic judicial intervention. This level of direct oversight is highly unusual.
It really does. And this is where the appeals process becomes so crucial. When a party believes a lower court has made an error, they have the right to seek review from a higher court. In this instance, it's almost certain the government or the official sought an appeal.
Right, and the grounds for such an appeal would likely be substantial. They might argue the judge exceeded their authority, that the order created an undue burden on the official and the agency, or perhaps point to procedural errors. Essentially, they're saying the original ruling was legally flawed or unfairly intrusive.
And that's where the appeals court comes in. Their role is to review decisions from lower courts, examining the legal basis rather than retrying the case. They can uphold, reverse, or modify the original decision, ensuring legal standards are applied consistently.
Now, about this pause, legally, it's called a stay. It's critical to understand this isn't a final decision. The appeals court isn't saying the original order was definitively wrong, but rather that they're putting it on hold to allow for a thorough review of the arguments.
Exactly. It's a way to maintain the status quo, or at least prevent immediate, potentially irreversible harm, while the appellate process unfolds. Granting a stay signals that the appeals court sees enough merit in the arguments to warrant further consideration.
And the significance of that is huge. It means the concerns raised about the original order, perhaps overreach or operational disruption, are serious enough to require immediate attention and temporary relief. It buys time for a more deliberate legal process.
So, with that immediate pressure lifted, let's dig into the root causes. Why would a judge issue such a drastic order in the first place? Understanding the context behind it is key.
That's a great question. This order didn't happen in a vacuum. It was almost certainly part of a larger, ongoing legal case. This could involve challenges to specific border policies, like asylum processing or detention practices, or even disputes over data disclosure.
Or, in some extreme cases, it could stem from a finding of contempt of court, where an official or agency failed to comply with a previous directive. The severity of the daily appearance order really suggests the judge perceived a significant failure to address the core issues.
What were the core accusations or perceived failures? Likely, the judge believed the official or agency wasn't taking sufficient action to remedy a problem, or perhaps was actively resisting compliance. This could involve allegations of inadequate resources, non-compliant policies, or a general lack of responsiveness.
The judge's rationale for demanding daily appearances, while unusual, was probably rooted in a desire for accountability and prompt action. Maybe they felt that only direct, in-person reporting could ensure the issues were being taken seriously and resolved with the necessary urgency.
It's like saying, I need to see firsthand that this is being addressed, and I need updates directly from the person in charge. These measures are usually reserved for situations where standard reporting mechanisms are seen as insufficient and the stakes are incredibly high.
And while judges certainly hold officials accountable, requiring daily appearances from top-tier executive officials is exceptionally rare. It suggests a breakdown in the usual channels of communication and compliance between the judiciary and the executive branch.
Connecting this to broader border policy is essential. Debates over border security and immigration are perennial and highly charged. Court cases become battlegrounds where these policy disagreements are fought out, and this case highlights the judiciary's role in scrutinizing executive actions.
And often, the human element is what underscores the urgency. If the dispute involves the treatment of asylum seekers or individuals in detention, the judge's decision could have been influenced by deeply concerning reports about the human impact of policies or the lack of adequate responses.
So, we have the context for the original order. Now, let's pivot to the specific arguments presented to the appeals court that led to that crucial pause. What did the government or the official argue?
One of the most prominent arguments, as we touched on, is the undue burden. This goes beyond mere inconvenience. It's about the substantial disruption to the official's ability to perform their core duties. Leading a massive agency requires constant attention to national security, operations, and policy.
Precisely. Daily court appearances would siphon off critical time and resources, potentially hampering the agency's effectiveness. It's an argument about the practical impossibility of fulfilling both roles at the required level.
Another key argument often centers on the lack of authority of the lower court judge. This touches on the separation of powers, the idea that the judge might have exceeded their judicial authority by issuing an order that is overly intrusive into the executive branch's operational sphere.
They'd contend that while courts can review legality, dictating the daily schedule of a senior executive official crosses a line, encroaching on the executive's prerogative to manage its own affairs. It's an argument about judicial overreach.
Then there's the argument about the effectiveness of the remedy itself. Would forcing daily appearances actually solve the underlying problem, or would it merely serve as pressure without leading to tangible improvements?
They might argue that less intrusive measures, like regular reports or focused hearings, would be more appropriate. The daily appearance order, in this view, is a disproportionate response to the alleged problem.
Claims of procedural irregularity are also common grounds for appeal. This could involve arguments about insufficient notice, failure to consider all evidence, or improper application of legal standards by the lower court.
If the appeals court finds procedural errors, it could be grounds to overturn or modify the order. This highlights the importance of due process, the fairness of the legal procedures themselves.
A critical legal concept in requests for a stay is irreparable harm. This means showing that enforcing the order while the appeal is pending would cause damage so significant and lasting that it couldn't be remedied later, even if the appeal is successful.
For a high-ranking official, the constant disruption and potential damage to agency operations could constitute irreparable harm. The argument is that enforcing the order now would cause damage that a later reversal couldn't fix. This is key for appeals courts deciding on a stay.
And finally, the need for immediate relief is paramount when seeking a stay. Appeals can take a long time, and if the order is causing significant harm, waiting for the full process could mean the damage is already done. The appealing party argues for quick intervention.
So, these arguments formed the basis for the pause. But what does this pause actually mean for the legal process moving forward? The battle is far from over.
The appeals process itself is quite structured. After the stay, parties submit written legal arguments, known as briefs, to the appeals court. These briefs meticulously lay out their legal positions, citing laws and case precedents.
Then, there might be oral arguments where attorneys present their case directly to the judges and answer their questions. This is often where the judges signal their thinking and probe the arguments more deeply.
The potential outcomes of the full appeal are varied. The appeals court could uphold the original order, meaning the daily appearances would commence. This would suggest they found the judge's concerns grave and the order legally permissible.
Alternatively, they could reverse the original order completely, agreeing with the government that it was an overreach or legally flawed. This would relieve the official of the daily appearance requirement.
A third, and often common, outcome is modification. The appeals court might find daily appearances too extreme but uphold the need for oversight. They could order weekly or biweekly appearances, or require specific reports instead of physical presence.
Regardless of the final outcome, the temporary pause has an immediate impact on border operations. For now, the official can continue to focus on their immense responsibilities without the daily courtroom obligation.
Leading CBP or DHS involves intricate operations, from interdicting illicit substances to facilitating legitimate trade. The daily demands are immense, and being required in court daily would undoubtedly divert critical resources and attention from these core national security and operational imperatives.
The stay provides breathing room, preventing what could have been a crippling disruption to executive branch functions. It allows the appeals court the time it needs to conduct a comprehensive review, weighing judicial oversight against executive autonomy.
Let's delve a bit deeper into that undue burden argument. It's not just about inconvenience. It's about whether the disruption fundamentally impairs the official's ability to perform their statutory and constitutional duties. Imagine the Secretary of DHS having to appear in court every single day.
The time commitment, even a few hours a day, would detract from strategic decisions, crisis management, and overseeing the vast workforce. The argument is that such an order could cripple agency leadership and potentially degrade border security.
And the separation of powers argument is crucial. The Constitution divides authority among three branches. Critics might argue that an order dictating the daily schedule of a senior executive official represents an encroachment by the judiciary into the executive's domain.
They'd contend that while courts can review legality, they shouldn't be involved in the minute-by-minute management of executive functions. The appeals court must consider if the lower court's order crossed this constitutional boundary.
In the context of border management, the executive branch has significant statutory authority. Courts are generally hesitant to second-guess policy choices unless there's a clear violation of law. An order for daily appearances could be perceived as dictating policy rather than ensuring legal compliance.
The argument about the effectiveness of the remedy is also key. Did the judge truly believe daily court appearances would solve the core problem, or was it primarily to exert pressure? If the issue is complex policy implementation, daily appearances might not be the most efficient solution.
The appealing party might argue that alternative, less disruptive methods exist for the court to monitor progress, such as detailed reporting or expert consultations. They'd contend the order is a disproportionate response.
And procedural irregularity claims are vital for due process. If the government didn't have adequate notice, or if the judge relied on insufficient evidence, these procedural flaws could invalidate the order regardless of the substantive merits.
The concept of irreparable harm is powerful in seeking a stay. The disruption caused by daily court appearances could lead to a decline in morale, a loss of focus on critical missions, and potentially weaken border security. These consequences are hard to reverse.
The government's plea for a stay is essentially a request for the appeals court to act quickly to prevent further negative consequences while it undertakes its more deliberate review. This highlights the urgency that can be present.
So, while the appeals court has granted a temporary reprieve, the underlying legal battle is far from over. The stay is a procedural step, not a final judgment on the core dispute.
What are the potential paths forward? The appeals court will proceed with its review, likely involving detailed written briefs and possibly oral arguments where attorneys present their case directly to the judges.
And after this thorough review, the appeals court will issue its decision. As we discussed, they could affirm the original order, meaning daily appearances would commence, or reverse it entirely, finding it legally flawed.
Or, they might modify the order. Perhaps daily appearances are deemed excessive, but some form of regular reporting or oversight is still deemed necessary. They could also remand the case back to the lower court with instructions.
Regardless of the final outcome, this situation shapes how judicial oversight of executive actions is conducted, especially in the sensitive domain of border management. It sends a message about the balance of power between branches.
The significance extends beyond the immediate legal proceedings. It serves as a powerful reminder of the intricate relationship between the different branches of our government. The judiciary acts as a check, ensuring executive actions comply with laws and the Constitution.
This case highlights the vital role of courts in holding powerful agencies accountable, while also underscoring the executive's right to appeal and seek relief from orders they deem inappropriate or unworkable. The pause allows for a more measured approach.
The public discourse surrounding border policy is often heated. Legal battles like this become focal points for broader societal debates. Advocacy groups and policymakers will be watching closely, as the resolution could influence border management strategies.
And we can't forget the human element. Extreme judicial measures can arise from dire humanitarian situations or perceived inaction on critical issues affecting vulnerable populations at the border. Finding the right balance is key.
The ongoing nature of this legal battle emphasizes that managing a nation's border is a dynamic process, not a static problem. Its policy development, implementation, and adaptation often played out in the courts.
The appeals court's decision to grant a stay is a testament to the legal system's capacity for review and its commitment to ensuring justice is not only swift but also deliberated and fair. It prevents hasty decisions and allows critical functions to continue.
In essence, this situation encapsulates the dynamic tension at the heart of our legal and governmental system. It's a negotiation between decisive executive action and the imperative of judicial oversight, a balancing act particularly challenging in border management.
The pause is not an end, but a critical juncture, allowing for deeper scrutiny and a more considered path forward in a matter of significant national importance. It really shows how the legal system works to mediate these complex issues.
Let's transition now to a summary of what we've discussed. We've covered the extraordinary original order, the significance of the stay, the root causes, the arguments presented on appeal, and the path forward. It's quite a complex legal landscape.
Absolutely. Looking at the summary table, the first key factor is judicial oversight versus executive discretion. The appeals court's pause highlights the judiciary's role as a check on executive power, ensuring accountability.
But on the challenge side, the initial order and appeal underscore the tension. Overly intrusive judicial orders can paralyze agency functions, while insufficient oversight can lead to noncompliance or harm. It's a delicate balance.
Next, the stay as a legal tool. A stay provides crucial temporary relief, preventing potentially irreparable harm while an appeal is heard. It shows the appellate court recognizes significant legal questions needing careful deliberation.
The challenge here is that a stay isn't a final decision. It can prolong uncertainty and delay resolution, potentially allowing problematic conditions to persist if the original order is eventually upheld.
Then we have arguments on appeal, undue burden, authority. Arguments like undue burden and lack of authority effectively challenge the practicality and legality of extreme judicial interventions. They emphasize the critical nature of an official's duties and constitutional boundaries.
However, these arguments can sometimes be perceived as attempts to evade accountability, especially when the underlying dispute involves humanitarian concerns. The appeals court must balance these claims against the severity of the issues.
The context of border policy litigation is another major factor. Border policy cases are high stakes, involving national security and human rights. The judiciary's involvement reflects the profound impact of these policies and the need for legal scrutiny.
The challenge is that the politicized nature of border issues can influence public perception and legal arguments. Court decisions can become entangled in broader political debates, complicating objective legal review.
Finally, humanitarian concerns and judicial response. Extreme judicial measures can be a direct response to dire humanitarian situations or perceived inaction on critical issues affecting vulnerable populations. This highlights the judiciary's role in protecting rights.
But the challenge here is that while driven by humanitarian concerns, drastic orders can face hurdles regarding scope, practicality, and potential disruption to essential government operations. Finding that balance is a persistent challenge.
So, to conclude, this specific legal maneuver, the pause on the daily appearance order, is a snapshot within the much larger conversation about U.S. border management and the court's role in overseeing it.
Managing a nation's border is an extraordinarily complex undertaking, involving navigating asylum flows, national security, humane treatment, trade, and resource allocation. It's a dynamic environment with profound consequences.
And within this arena, the courts play a critical role in interpreting laws, ensuring executive actions comply with them, and providing a venue to challenge policies. The nature and extent of this intervention are often debated, especially in immigration and border policy.
Common judicial tools include injunctions, administrative law reviews, and constitutional challenges. These avenues allow for scrutiny and provide a path for redress when policies are deemed unlawful, but the political dimensions are always present.
Indeed, border management is a potent political issue, and legal battles can become intertwined with political agendas. Court decisions can have significant political ramifications, influencing policy debates and reflecting broader political currents.
This case, from the initial extraordinary order to the temporary pause, encapsulates the dynamic tension between decisive executive action and the imperative of judicial oversight. It's a balancing act in a complex and consequential area.
The pause is not an end, but a critical juncture, allowing for deeper scrutiny and a more considered path forward. It demonstrates the legal system's capacity for review and its commitment to ensuring justice is both swift and deliberated.
And that brings us to the end of our discussion on this fascinating legal development. We've covered the introduction, all five sections, the conclusion, and the detailed summary. Thanks for joining us on the Mbago Media Finance Podcast.
It was a pleasure. We'll be back next time with more insights into the world of finance and law. Until then, stay informed.